kid from the cosmic legends of the universe.
Dave Damaschek.
The mission, to fight injustice, to right that which is wrong, and to serve all mankind.
Hi and hello, podcasters. It's your old pal Dave, Dave Damaschek. What's going down? I hope all's well wherever you are. It's that time of the week. I'm in good spirits because it's time to talk college football, make our picks, yap with two experts. First of all, well, we're going to be talking to Ed Cunningham from ESPN college football coverage. But first, let's say hello to the man from AccuScore.com, the place with those evil computers cooking up 10,000 simulations of every sort of game, not just college football, but also NFL, World Series, NBA now, NHL. Like I say, every sport under the sun, it's the Blue Horseshoe.
He's the Blue Horseshoe. He's the Blue Horseshoe. With his evil computers, he'll calculate who beats who. He's the Blue Horseshoe.
Word up, the shoe. What's going down?
What's going on, Dave? Thanks for having me back.
Yeah, well, we'll give you a chance to get some bragging in just a second about the successful week in picks you had last week. But first of all, let's bring back, and he wanted a theme song. Actually, let's just say hello to him real quick. Ed Cunningham from ESPN College Football, of course. What's going down, Ed?
I'm sitting here waiting with bated breath to hear what you came up with.
All right, well, listen, I just want to say, before you hear it, the one-man house...
No.
What?
You just push play, man.
You don't tell me on my show what I do or don't do. Here's what I'll do. I'm going to play you a song. I just want to give credit where credit is due. It is from an SEC fan, an LSU, a former member of the marching band of LSU, now lives in Columbia, South Carolina, and goes to South Carolina Gamecocks games, which, by the way, I don't know if there's a conflict of interest there. Look, we can discuss that later. Right now, Ed Cunningham, here's your song from our man, Jeremy Lane.
The telephone in the studio is going ding-a-ling-a-ling. Ed Cunningham's on the line. Talk this BCS thing. Yap about college football and championship games. ACC, SEC, Pac-10, Big 12, Big 10, Big East, Notre Dame. Damn shame, Davey. Don't keep this guy on his cell. Put Ed Cunningham on the line and keep the sass to himself.
All right, Ed Cunningham, there you go. That was a listener submitted, a citizen of the Czech Republic, took his time, put his effort into it. Your thoughts, your emotions.
Well, emotionally, it hits on a level that's almost inexplicable.
Is that right? How so?
That song by the Georgia Satellites was back in the summer of 1992. A rookie from the Arizona Cardinals, then the Phoenix Cardinals. That was the song he sang as his rookie song so he could eat dinner.
And that rookie for the Arizona Cardinals?
Was the 61st pick in that year's draft, Ed Cunningham.
Wow.
Look.
Home run, then.
He knocked it out of the park as far as I'm concerned.
Wow, that's fantastic. How about the serendipity of that? I didn't know that. I mean, I'm not in touch with any members of the 92 Cardinals to have known that. Wow, that's fantastic. We're off to a flying start then. Wonderful. It's all downhill from here, but let's see if we can have an interesting conversation just the same. Cunningham, the BCS, since last we spoke, the shoe was with us last week, like I mentioned, but we haven't talked in about 2 weeks now. And so the BCS standings are out. No surprise that Florida, Bama, and Texas. It starts to get muddy for me, though. I'm getting to be a broken record on this. But USC is ahead of undefeated TCU and Cincinnati. What gives here? What are your thoughts about this?
Well, we'll have to defer to the shoe because obviously his evil computers are usually right in this area. But right now, I'm disgusted with the whole thing because, quite frankly, I don't know that anybody deserves to be number one or number two. I don't think anybody has proven that they are the best team in the country. Everyone has their flaws. So even though I know Zach will come through with 4 or 5 hours of stats that will put us to sleep, but all of them will be correct. I don't care right now because Alabama, the guy took his helmet off. You know?
So true. Takes his helmet off running off the field, inconsistent at least.
Right. Yeah. And hey, look, the fact is, if the play is still going on, that is not a post-play foul. That's kind of a big deal. Even if it's a post-play foul. But regardless, no one's done it for me. I'm not feeling it for any of these teams.
Well, listen, Florida, for the second straight year, should have taken a home loss. 2 weeks ago, Arkansas should have knocked them off. If they get a field goal or two there that were makeable field goals, obviously, they do go down. That's exactly I agree with you 100%, Cunningham.
And that was a fumble. That guy did not cross the goal line.
Oh, not even close in that game.
Yeah, what you said is, that's exactly how I feel, is that these the statements that people are making about who's the best, and listen, there's no way that anyone right now can say if they're being honest, that Florida is absolutely better than Iowa TCU.
But I hear you, Dave, about TCU, but at the same time, big deal, they beat up on BYU. So did Florida State.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good point.
So, again, we get into that A beat B beat C beat D, and, you know, so F could beat A or whatever. You can't do it right now.
You know what I'm beaming about before the shoe takes over here for his monologue? I'm still beaming over the song and that worked out so well. I couldn't be more pleased.
And he is beaming.
Literally, when he kicked into that first chord, because I know that song so well, driving from Seattle to Arizona, I was playing, obviously, at the University of Washington, and I was driving down in my 87 electric powder blue two-door Nissan Sentra for training camp. And I basically paid the way of a buddy of mine from my fraternity to drive down with me. You know, I just wanted to have a buddy to drive for the 30 hours or whatever.
Yeah, and good time, panicked. Right.
I was panicked the whole drive down. What's the song going to be? What's the song going to be? And, of course, him being, you know, the Jack astronaut that he is, was coming up with all these rap songs, incorporating my name and Joe Bugle's name and all this other stuff. As we're literally pulling across the city limits, across into the city limits of Phoenix. I mean, I'm checking into training camp the next morning and still don't have my song. That Georgia Satellite song comes on, and we both looked at each other and just genius. So he madly started scribbling down. You think you kind of know it, but you really have to know that song. And I'll take it one step further. I knocked it out of the park so well with that song. Dave Duerson, who was one of the veterans in charge of making, not when he was with the Bears, obviously, and the career of the Cardinals. Dave Duerson, if any other rookie got up and didn't do well, would have me go back up and re-sing that song. So that song is cuts pretty deep for me.
Wow, that's over the moon about
this. That's pretty amazing.
All right, the shoe. Go ahead and bring us down with your logic and your computers.
All right, the first things first is, you know, Ed's right and you're right. I mean, if there's ever another year where there's a debacle in the BCS, it's this year. And one of the arguments I take exception is discounting Iowa because how they won. It's as if you need to win a game in the first three quarters and having heart in the end and actually having a great comeback counts. I mean, doesn't count. If you look at Northern Iowa, sure, they were bad teams, but Iowa had to make two great plays back-to-back and block those field goals. They had to go on the road last week and, make a last-minute drive. I don't want to take away points because of margin of victory or because the games are close. I mean, and I think that's a big bunch of nonsense. And if you take a look at Texas gets propped up because, you know, for the same thing, they, you know, weren't pulling away from a very average Oklahoma team, and then they went on the road last week and beat, you know, just, you know, the big game doormat of Missouri. But Texas all of a sudden is living off a good reputation. I think Texas is a very good football team, by the way. You know, you take a look at what biggest problem with the BCS, and I think this is what's happening again this year for the average fan, is the continuity between the human polls and the computer polls are all out of whack. And I don't care what you're going to say. If you're going to say that USC is 7 or 8 or 9 in a computer poll after going to Ohio State and going to Notre Dame and winning these games, and then say Iowa is number one, that doesn't make sense. And I'm a big Iowa fan. I saw this coming a few weeks ago. And also, I think the BCS has huge credibility problems that a team from the BCS conference, who's 7-0, who's undefeated, isn't in the hunt.
Of course. Well, we've been talking about that for a while. The one thing I will say in USC's favor, the one thing they have going for them, a pretty interesting number that somebody told me around the hallway the other day, is they've won 4 road games against top 25 teams. That's an impressive mark.
That's impressive, yeah.
With a true freshman quarterback, I don't think you can take anything away from USC. And to be honest, I think they are the best of the one-loss teams. That being said, I don't think they're going to win.
Oh, I don't think so. I think there's a team that plays on the banks of the Three Rivers in southwestern Pennsylvania that deserves that title.
Oh, here we go.
That's right. It's time. Yeah. Listen, we've heard plenty about the Sooners all year long. We can talk about the Pitt Panthers. I think it's valid now. We'll get into that.
I've made many bags of potato chips this year on the Pitt Panthers, by the way.
I'll tell you what, right now, I got my first long look at Pittsburgh the other night, that Friday night game 2 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. And they're pretty good, guys. I like that squad. That little running back.
Which one?
Deion Lewis.
Yeah, exactly.
Legitimate. I mean, they're talking Heisman now all of a sudden for him.
I will tell you, the last guy.
He's, it's almost like, who was the guy we had last year?
Yeah. The last guy on the Pitt bandwagon in this conversation is our trusted host, Dave Damashek.
Well, because listen,
and being a Pittsburgh guy, you figured he'd be first.
Now, listen,
exactly.
I know all the charges against me about being a blind, seeing black and gold, and I look at the world. Listen, I've the loss to NC State is inexplicable. It really is almost frustrating now to have.
Yeah, but USC lost to Washington.
I know, I guess so, but with that, the strength of that Pitt defense is the defensive line. They have depth there, they have NFL level talent, and for them not to be able to slow down NC State in the second half, we'll see if it haunts them. It's all relative. It's not as though anybody expected this team to win the national championship. But all of a sudden, you look at what they have left. They go Syracuse, then if they beat Notre Dame, then they go to West Virginia, and then they finish things off at home against Cincinnati. All of a sudden, they can't do any worse than obviously a BCS bowl game, and really maybe get a shot at one of these really high up there teams. Not Florida or Texas, but wouldn't be surprised. Anything less than that would be a disappointment.
Well, I think Pitt's a great team. I mean, they're fun to watch. They're fun. They have a good offense. Turner is a great, great receiver over the middle. And when Stull focuses.
Well, Jonathan Baldwin's another NFL kid. And then, guy who's going to be in the NFL. Big receiver.
Dorn, who's the other guy? I forget his name. Dorn, the deep threat. He's great also.
Jonathan Baldwin.
No, there's another guy.
Oh, Doran Dickerson.
Yeah,
Dickerson.
Tight end. He's fantastic as well. So I like Pitt's makeup, and I've liked him all year, except when Wanstead couldn't get it in from the 1 yard line under a minute so he could push a spread so I can hit a 14 parlay. Nevertheless, look, I think
it always comes down to that, doesn't it?
Well, sometimes.
I want to back up for one half a second because you threw something out there a moment ago.
I'm prepared to defend it.
I don't. No. Not well. You kind of went out there a little bit. I'm not going to put words in your mouth, but it was something about Northern Iowa. Margin of victory shouldn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of, am I paraphrasing? But that's kind of, I couldn't disagree with you more. And I think one of the things that is really difficult is, and we all forget, remember, there was that 5 or 6 year period where every year, everything about the BCS changed.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, we got a new poll. Now we're not going to let this. Now we're going to do it. I think the biggest thing that they did, and they did it under the guise of sportsmanship, was force the computer formulas to take out margin of victory as something that they graded within their formula.
Mm-hmm.
To me, I think that made the computers less reliable.
And I agree with you.
How else? And here's my thing. I get it. This is college sports. We don't want people running up the score. Then cap the bonus you get for margin of victory at like 28. I don't care. Cap it at 21. I don't care. But to not have, to say that a win against Northern Iowa you know, it's the same. Winning by one is the same as winning by 50. It's ridiculous.
Yeah,
I just think it's ridiculous.
I would agree with that proposal, but let's hold on.
No, but it matters. Where it matters, though, is right. If you are not capable of obliterating Northern Iowa, that's an issue.
But wait a second. But, do you know who Northern Iowa is? I mean, yeah, they're fun. Like, that you think they're a doormat school. They were the runner-up in Division 1AA last year. They went to the Division 1AA finals.
A guy from my high school actually played running back there. So I know the program. I'm just using that as an example. I'm not saying Iowa should have beat Northern Iowa by 50. I'm saying if you don't have margin of victory, which we don't,
mm-hmm.
in the computer element, I think people forget that. I think it was 3 years ago now where they yanked it out, maybe four. But I think that's something we all forget that, you know, you're saying, Zach, that you have a problem with how some of these polls are shaking out, these computer polls. Well, to me, I think it's a direct result of not being able to have margin of victory.
Well,
that's one of the biggest flaws in the system.
And I think you're right, Ed, but, you know, I do a lot of analysis on the six computer polls. And a big problem for me, not necessarily is not understanding the ins and outs of the formulas, because, you know, at AccuScore, we don't always share what our secret ingredients are. But if you take a look at Sagarin's rankings or the Massey Index or, you know, the Colley Matrix, there's very little continuity when you get past teams 1, 2, and 3 and you go through 4 through 10. That you're not, if you match them up, they're not the same teams, and they're not even close. You'll have a team that is 1 in one poll and 7 in the other, or 3 in a poll and 11 in the other. And that's why you have to, you know, throw out the highs and the lows of the computers and just goes, you know, with the 4 in
right.
between. And I think the college football fan is, you know, again, you get into the same situation where it's just frustrating. And for me, I've kind of tempered my frustration this year. I've gotten lucky that, A, my team's not in it, and B, that I've kind of just submitted to the beatdown that is the BCS. Now, what's really interesting.
Hey, Dave. How sad is it that he says he's lucky that his team is out of it? is that a twisted view of the world? That must be what it's like to be a Sooners fan.
No.
And transparent rationalization.
Listen,
is all
it's
it
not.
Issue.
Look, I care more than I should. All right. And last year was not a fun year. I mean, I'm not even kidding you that I lost sleep the night after Oklahoma beat Oklahoma State.
Yeah, because it stinks to go to the national championship game and despite, you know, and a couple of plays go your way and it's actually a really good game. Yeah, that's awful.
You know what, Ed? I find myself.
No, I'm fine going with the national championship game.
I agree with Ed, I would say, at least 2/3 of the time when it comes down to it versus you, the shoe. But on this one, I'm with the shoe. See, Ed, this is what you played big time. You played Pac-10 football with the Huskies. You played NFL football. Here we go again. As a fan, yes, we have to suspend reality. Yes, we are deluding ourselves to think that the players care as much as we do because they play in our town or they play for our college. They don't care as much as we do. And yes, we get to, it's better off. I hear what you're saying, the shoe. Mm-hmm. I'd rather know. In September, I'd rather be 0-3 and say, yeah, this is a lost season, and then just try and enjoy it objectively than to go all that way. I don't like
well,
it's the difference between being a Cubs fan historically or being a Red Sox fan. I don't want those painful losses
Let me elaborate on that point.
That is such a pessimistic view.
And hold on, Ed. I think you'll agree.
I don't take that view in life.
Yeah, no, I won't. But Ed.
Oh, I'm much more pessimistic
Ed,
about
you,
my own life.
You can argue that probably outside of Sam Bradford, I care more about the Sooners than any other guy anybody who even plays on the team. Now, the point from December, first week of December up until the first week of January where my heart got ripped in half, that was great knowing we were going to play for it. I mean, that was a lot of fun. You know, I knew I booked a trip to Miami. It was on.
Yeah, despite the 10-point loss to Texas. Anyway.
It's all right. But see, this is
wasn't all right with me.
This is where we go. Now, see, let's take a look. Ed is a college football analyst who makes money analyzing the game. Dave is a talk show host. Dave has, in my opinion, all the right in the world to blurt into his mic that it's wrong because it was a 10-point, you know, what happened in Dallas. Whereas I think Ed's job is to, while he can provide opinion, is to give objective analysis to how the system works and then maybe call into question in that. And I think, hold on, Ed, I'm almost done.
The rules, Dave. He always falls back on the
rules. I just hope he'll send us an email laying out our respective job descriptions so that we can make sure we don't make any mistakes going forward.
But here's the thing. you know, I think that, I don't think Ed particularly, because Ed calls the games, but I think people who are paid for to be the face of college football and to break it down, guys like Herb Street and Fowler, decided that they wanted to pretend that the system was a perfect system.
Are we going back to last year?
No. What I'm saying is,
I threw out it was a joke. I was just busting.
I know. We got to talk. I want to talk about Pac-10, the game of the year.
All right, you're opening up wounds. And all I'm going to say is this: that in all of my analysis this year and my approach to college football is by the rules, because otherwise you're just going to go insane, and I've lost far too much hair, and I'm not a tall guy, and I'm a quiet 5'6", 180 who can run a 4'7". But
are you looking for more criticisms of you? You're not particularly charismatic. Let's throw that one in.
I'm good looking, though.
All right, I don't.
You're a bad tipper.
I'm not a bad tipper.
This will consume the next 2 hours if we get into his flaws. So,
all I'm going to say is this. You have to rely upon the rules. Last year, at least, you could look at the rules and say, okay, I don't agree with what happened, but at least I understand why it happened. This year, it's so whacked out because you have a Mountain West team who is going to finish ahead of Cincinnati, period. I mean, if TCU and Cincinnati run the table, as I've been saying for a month, TCU is in. Boise State's
Utah's just cruising along, helping out TCU like crazy right now.
Yep, because they're not losing. I mean, Utah is not a good team. I mean, they're not a great team.
No,
they're an average team.
I saw Utah against Oregon, which may be our segue now to the Oregon-USC game. But I saw Utah against Oregon, and both of those teams were below average in my mind at that time.
Yeah, well, I don't think – let's use that as the segue. Is Oregon's a team – my cousin Ariane is a diehard Duck, so all I hear about is the thuggish cheating Ducks all the time. And Oregon is one of these teams that really got punished for not having a preseason this year. Iowa, Oklahoma, Oregon, teams that just didn't come flying out of the gate like, say, a Florida or an Alabama.
Wait, who are you talking? You're talking about the Oregon Ducks?
Yeah, we're talking about the Oregon Ducks.
Well, they did have a preseason. They went up to Boise State, which at the time seemed like a pretty legit opening game to kick off with.
Because every game counts and it's the regular season from game one, Oregon's one of these teams that really needed to work out the kinks. I mean, really needed to work out the kinks, and they lost that game. They got smothered in that game. And, Ed, you know, I know that you did some analysis on that when you did Utah-Oregon. And Oregon wasn't even in stride. You know, they got in the shootout with Purdue and then eked out the win against Utah. But that Oregon team right now, I would say, is playing to their full potential. They're in stride, and they are in absolute position should they beat SC this weekend. And personally, I think they will. I think they're going to beat USC at home at night in Autzen. They're going to play for the national championship if Texas and Iowa lose.
All right. Ed, what do you think, first of all? Who do you think wins that game?
That's coming out of the computers, right, Zach?
It's based on an analysis of the rankings in the BCS.
I hear you. And quite frankly, if they do win out, I think you could make an argument that they should if Texas and Iowa lose. Because we know, you know, Alabama or Florida is going to lose at least one. So.
Mm-hmm. Right.
For me, that game Saturday night's a little – I've seen both teams in person. I've seen USC twice in person. I've seen Oregon once in person, and, of course, studied a bunch of film getting ready for that game. It's hard for me to make an assessment. And then I saw them – obviously, they played the Huskies this weekend, and so I TiVo'd that game and watched pretty much the whole thing and rewound and looked at stuff and things like that. So I feel like I know that team pretty well. I think the part of the team that doesn't get enough recognition is their defensive line, especially their front and their linebackers. It's a very active, good group of players. They're not big, brutish guys, but they can all run. They move around. They have a good scheme up front. So the defense, what scares me about Oregon is I did a game where Jeremiah Masoli, when he was fully healthy, went 4 of 16 against Utah. Mm-hmm. And Utah's pretty good on defense. They're okay.
Not as bad as Derek Anderson, though, or Jamarcus Russell, for that matter.
Well, I understand that. But then there's the next week where they play Cal, who just didn't even show up, and he goes 22 of 26. So he has 4 incompletions that week, and he had 4 completions the week before. So for me, if Masoli going up against a good USC defense is like he was against Utah, I think USC wins, and I think they win handily. If he settles in and he's healthy, he's healthier than he was against the Huskies, because he wasn't 100% in that game. then they've got a chance. But, and I hate to put it all on Sully, but quite frankly, I think it is. I think the whole game rides on his up or down.
Let me just throw this out. You talk about margin of victory, and to me, the thing with USC, aside from obviously losing the game at Washington, and now in hindsight, the win against the Buckeyes isn't anything to really brag that much about, especially how close that game was. But the other one is how the defense, as heralded as USC's defense is, that Notre Dame just about came back and won that game, or at least pushed it into overtime.
Yep.
Really, to me, makes me have all the doubt in the world in USC. You talk about how do you justify having USC ahead of TCU or Cincinnati? Well, they've won games on the road. Yeah, but listen, I've watched them. My eyeballs tell me that they're just not a particularly great team.
Well, I mean, I think to that point is
I agree with that.
Clearly you don't understand what USC's helmet means. I mean, USC, they're
yeah, that's what I know
they're
what it's
USC,
about, right?
Dave, you're gonna get blasted out of the 710 studios for saying
well,
that.
No, but let me just say this to that, as far as that goes. I can't remember if, Ed, we were talking with you about this or if this was just something the Shoe and I were batting back and forth. But as much as we talk about, as much as we complain about the BCS and why TCU should have its shot and why not Cincinnati or, Iowa this year over these teams, the fact of the matter is no one wants to watch anything other than when it comes down to it, people want to see USC play Florida or Texas. Yep. If it ends up being Cincinnati versus, TCU for the national championship, that ironically is the one thing that might make the BCS people say, all right, maybe we should change the system because this isn't working.
Because the rating's going to be down 42%.
Yeah, going back
to USC, I don't think they're a great team, but I'm not saying that like, oh, it's a down year, because I don't think any team is great this year.
That's exactly. I agree with you. Right.
But I think in almost being a little facetious there, Zach, I think you make a good point. Those guys do have a feeling, and it emanates right from their head coach, that they can win at any time on any stage.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that.
More than any other team, maybe than Florida. I mean, they just have that swagger. They walk in. Mm-hmm. They're just different. That bright spotlight, and I think it has a lot to do with the way Pete Carroll and his staff prep their players. They allow 500 people to come out to practice. There's movie stars out there. It's like the stage. They're on the stage all the time. So when they go up to Autzen, and Autzen is a great environment. It's a wonderful college environment. They don't. That doesn't do anything to them.
Well,
it makes them raise their game.
Yeah, and I agree, and I think USC, that's why I think USC is justified at where they're at in the polls. I mean, I give credit for going to Ohio State and winning with the true freshman quarterback. The point where I start to get a little bit annoyed is I'm not going to mention his name, but the guy who was doing play-by-play last week for the USC-Oregon State game.
I completely agree with you
about Barkley. Oh, good thing for USC that there's a freshman, a freshman can't go pro rule. Let's talk about Barkley for a second. Barkley is completing 60% of his passes. He has a 7-5 touchdown to interception ratio, and he's been sacked, 8 times. I'm just going to throw out his name because Sam Bradford, when he did pop on the scene, was a freshman in a dropback system. Bradford completed 70% of his passes with a 36-8 touchdown to interception ratio with far less weapons than what's happening at USC. I think you need to realize and remember.
I disagree with the weapons part, by the way.
Well, would you say that they're equal?
The only guy that really jumps off, well, Anthony McCoy is a pretty good talent, but they don't use him the way that Oklahoma uses their tight ends historically. But
look, Oklahoma did not use their tight end until last year.
The only guy that I look at on USC and I say, wow, that's a great skill player.
Well, Oklahoma had Malcolm Kelly.
Skill player.
But Oklahoma, I don't want to debate the Oklahoma point. This is more of a point about, about Barkley. Is Barkley's good?
Well, you're the one who had to bring Oklahoma from 06 into a.
No, what it was. No, it was a comparison of a freshman quarterback who actually put up numbers worthy of hype versus a guy who has blonde hair.
He's getting hype because everyone's giving him hype.
Exactly. And that to me is the problem. I'm going to say you go into Autzen with a guy who does throw interceptions. All right. He takes sacks. He is not bulky. I mean, he got hurt in a game this year. And you go against Oregon. I mean, this game was played 2 years ago with Mark Sanchez. And Oregon beat USC in a late afternoon, nighttime game up in Eugene. I don't see much big of a difference, and I think Oregon is in stride. I think that they believe in their offense, and in the same way that USC believes that they can win on the road, I think Oregon knows that they're gonna win this game in Eugene. And, I mean, that's my feeling, and I think the winner of this is the inside track as a one-loss team now that the ACC has basically stepped out of the picture. And
but how does Jamel Holloway figure into this whole thing?
You want to hear a great Jamel?
No, I don't. I don't want to
hear. Hold on. I got a great Jamel
Holloway. I don't want to hear a story.
In the late 90s, Jamel Holloway got arrested for DUI in Norman, and in an occupation, he put football player.
All right, I give it a B.
It bums me out because I know Texas Oklahoma State is on the docket, but I've got to go pay my medical insurance bill, so I have. So I can go to the hospital.
All right, very good. So you know what? We'll cut it short there. What's your pick, USC, Oregon? Ed Cunningham.
I like USC. I just think I just think that big stage, they just shine on it. And I hear everything you're saying, Zach. I think so many people have guzzled the Kool-Aid on Barkley. I think he may end up being a really good quarterback. I don't think he is right now. I just feel like on the big stage, and look, if it's the flip and Oregon shows up and plays lights out, then I think we need to start realizing that Oregon made a great choice in keeping Chip Kelly around as the head coach. Because if that guy has taken what happened at the beginning of the year, forget the on-the-field stuff, but let's remember what happened off the field, and he's put that team in position. And I saw them the first three games. They weren't very good, and he puts them in position. They play well Saturday and win. And puts them in a position to maybe play for the national championship. I don't know how Chip Kelly's not the coach of the national coach of the year in his first season.
That's a great point. Not nearly enough attention being paid to that.
The last wild card for Oregon is if Oregon should win that game against USC, they get Arizona at home at a time where Arizona has a BCS ranking. Arizona is a team that snuck up in the rankings. Mm-hmm. That's going to be huge to push them over Cincinnati, TCU, and Boise State. Not enough to get over Iowa and Texas if they're undefeated, but it is enough to stamp their ticket as the one-loss team.
Very interesting. And Ed Cunningham, for your sake, if you look up on ESPN.com, search for Damashek, I wrote a column with you in mind. It was about, forget this playoff nonsense and the BCS. Let's just go back to the old system and have our glorious January 1 restored. I know you'll enjoy it. But Ed Cunningham, as always, a pleasure to yap with you, and we'll look forward to talking to you soon.
Thanks, guys.
All right, man. Let's play you out with your song one last time here.
The telephone in the studio's going ding-a-ling-a-ling. Ed Cunningham's on the line. Talk this BCS thing. Yap about college football and championship games. ACC, SEC, Pac-10, Big 12, Big 10, Big East, Notre Dame. Damn shit, Davey. Don't keep this guy on his cell. Put Ed Cunningham on the line and keep the sass to himself.
About that shoe. That's unbelievable. What a story that was.
That is good stuff. And I'm sitting here kind of smiling too because I never knew that either.
Yeah. Well, quite a thing. And so, all right. He's gone. And you know what? We have to make our picks. And so we'll do that tomorrow. The shoe. Let's cut today's podcasting action short here. Like I say, the shoe and me getting together for some college football best bets of the coming weekend. Make sure you check that out tomorrow. In the meantime, thanks so much, podcasters. It's been a thin slice of heaven.
Damashek, Damashek, loves Lemieux, hates Belichick. Spins a yarn any size, blasts those jerks just like flies. Look out, here comes Dave Damashek. Is he fast? Not a bit, but he makes up for it with tons of grit. If he's wrong, what's he do? Says he's wrong like Corbett taught him to. Hey there goes Dave Damashek. Cool Cat Spelled with K's is his fantasy team. When they hit the field, Bill Simmons starts to cry. Damashek, Damashek, his best friend is his TV set. Steelers fan since days of old, instead of red bleeds black and gold. Look out, it's Dave Damashek.